And there goes the full-time whistle for it. Serene are promoted into League One as all the players have managed to storm onto the pitch. I've had a word with someone very special. I won't be breaking any copyright by telling you this. Yes. Derby, Sunderland, Ipswich, you're going to be eating hummus at the new lawn next season because Forest Green are in League One.
Welcome to the Heavens Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
Heavens Devils podcast. From an inundated Bolt new lawn to Settlement 84 being inundated with orders. What a start to the season. What a start to the season for the pod.
What a start of the season for both the club and for Settlement 84. Yeah, so many people are awesome. We're getting so many pictures from all of you with your Settlement 84 gear. So yeah, we are presented by Settlement 84, a clothing company with the environment and animal welfare in mind. Shimmy, great segue, by the way.
I can only say, genius decision on your part not to include our faces on any of this. I have a feeling we would not be seeing as much.
Well, it wasn't my choice. We don't design anything. They do all of that.
Okay.
We don't approve anything. They just make it and we support
it. Leave
it
to the professionals, but that's the way to do it.
That's right. Special shout out to our friend Ben, who just had hip surgery. He's an old man. He's not that old, though. He's, in his 30s, low 30s?
Yeah.
Anyway, we asked him how he was doing. He sent us a picture of himself with a smile, with a hip brace thing on, and with a Heavens Devils hat he just bought from Settlement 84. What a friend. So cool.
Get well soon, Ben. You are the man.
Yes, we're wishing you a speedy recovery. So if you want to be like Ben and get hip surgery and look good doing it, go to settlement84.com. All proceeds from Heaven's Devil's gear will go to the Life You Can Save charity. So look good, feel good. Settlement84.com. All right, Shimmy, big pod today. We have Forest Green Rovers goalkeeper Cool Hand Luke McGee on the pod. Awesome chat. Awesome man. And we bring on the Lori of football knowledge, the dump truck of data, Lori Martin, on to chat about Lincoln City match. And the upcoming Plymouth Argyle match, and just FGR in general, Shimmy.
Yeah, man, always a pleasure to have Lori on, and just really looking forward to hearing what Luke has to say. And hopefully, we will not have a failure to communicate on this pod.
Let's go. So, if you missed the match, I'm talking about the Lincoln City match. Cooley Bailey Cargill's unfortunate own goal looked to have condemned the Rovers to defeat, but light the wick, yes. Baby. The game ain't over. As new Forest Green striker and Nathan lookalike, Connor Wickham's Wickham wonderer of a goal rescues a point as the Rovers get a come behind 1-1 draw away at Lincoln City. We'll talk about the game more with our man Lori, and also in just a bit with Luke. Sean, Cooley Bally's had a big goal scoring weekend with Cooley Bally at Chelsea, and our own Cooley Bally scoring against us. But hey, a goal is a goal, Shimmy.
Yeah, you know, we'll take it. If you're a Cooley Bali or a Cooley Bailey, it was your time to find the net. But all to the good, because we ended up with a decent result. So
that's right.
Can't knock.
That's right. And shout out to Ryan Griffin for the Wickham Wanderer name. I love that nickname. Quality. I don't think I got the respect it deserved. Excellent. Wickham Wanderer. I love it. Or as you might say, Sean, Wycombe.
Yeah. Maybe that's why people didn't get it. You know, I think it shows up because it's pronounced incorrectly. It should be Wycombe. Connor Wycombe.
I love it. And then, of course, we were supposed to play Akron and Stanley at home Tuesday night, but a waterlogged pitch canceled the game. Shimmy, Dale Vince has innovated electricity. He's innovated burgers, travel, football, even diamond, Shimmy. Why is there not an anti-waterlogging pitch device?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Mobot might need to go into like transformer mode or something, like turn into a wet dry vac and just try to clean the pitch. I feel like that's the next iteration of Mobot. You know?
That's it. That's the solution right there. Also, shout out to Forest Green Hospitality, which we all know from our visit there, it is the best. But the Accrington Stanley supporters made the long journey to Nailsworth only for the game to be canceled. But who else? But the Hoffmans, Matthew, Griffiths, our guy, Pippi, Smithy, Bax Blue, some others, hosted the traveling fans in the Hoffman Griffiths box for food and beer. It was just so cool to see. And as Kay Hoffman said, that's what football is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what I love about the Football League. If, you know, folks saw the video online, I think it was the visiting, a young visiting Akeem Stanley fan. It was her birthday. And, you know, everybody from FGR, the Hoffmans, Vax Blue was there. Like I said, Piffy Smithy, they all sang her happy birthday. And it just seemed like it was a great way to just build community, even against opposition, and just have a good time given such sudden and unfortunate circumstances of the game cancellation.
Yeah, man. Excellent Piffy Smithy photo came out of that as well, where he's making an incredible face. If you haven't seen it, you should look at it. Anyway, everyone was so kind to us when we went over there, and especially the Hoffman, so I was not surprised at all when I saw the pictures and the videos pop up on social media of their incredible hospitality toward Akron Stanley fans. You love to see it, Shimmy. So, Shimmy, we'll talk all about Lincoln City and preview Plymouth with Lori a little bit later, and we'll talk Lincoln City with Luke. So let's just get straight to it, Shimmy. Let's get to our man between the sticks, the man with the comically oversized gloves, our goalkeeper, Luke McGee. Let's go, baby. We welcome to the pod the man who bails us out every match in the first 20 minutes. He stopped shots from Premier League strikers like Harry Kane, like Connor Wickham. He is currently sort of leading the league in saves, sort of. We'll explain later. He's not technically leading the league in saves, but he basically is. He is the son.
In our hearts, he is, yes.
In our heart. Well, and I'll explain later. Anyway, he is the son of the Hebs Devi's father of the year, actually. We call him Cool Hand Luke, our Mackie Ting, the man you need when you're in a fix, a gentleman between the sticks, the man in comically oversized gloves, Luke McGee. Welcome back to the pod, Luke.
How are we, guys? Thank you for having me on.
Awesome, man. Great
back.
To have you again. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
We'll have
awesome
to make it a hat-trick at some point, aren't we?
What's that?
We'll have to make it a hat-trick at some point.
Let's do it. We can make it a hat-trick next week. We'll invite you on every week, Luke. So be careful what you say.
I haven't got that much to talk about, unfortunately.
Neither do we, but we manage.
That's right. Neither do we, but we still put up a pod every week. So Luke, how was your summer? I know you went to Greece because we were actually in Greece at the same time, just on different islands. How was the summer, Luke?
Do you know what? It was really, really nice. We went back home for a week or so. And then obviously with everything going on the last couple of years, we haven't taken the little one away. She's 19 months now. So
wow,
it's the first time we got to take her away. So we went to Mallorca for a few nights just to kind of tease her in and let her kind of find out how things would go. And it went, in hindsight, went way too well because there wasn't one problem with it. And then a few days later, we went out to Crete for 10 nights and
beautiful.
We woke her up at 4 o'clock in the morning, drove to the airport, sick in the car. Sick from the coach to the airport again. Had to buy her and my wife all new outfits at the airport. So it wasn't a great start to the holiday, but once we got out, it was lovely.
Oh, that's rough.
It's tough.
To do the old bait and switch. You go to Mallorca, everything's perfect. And then boom, 10 days in Greece.
He was like, nah, you've had this way too easy. Let me just switch it up.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was that idea that your daughter knew, you know, even though she can't speak yet, I'm sure like she's going and saying, you know what? This is a British milestone, a classical history site where they film Love Island. I got to be ready for this. We go to Mallorca. Yeah. The excitement is there. Greece, yeah. Something different. There's some tension there with the Elgin marbles. So maybe that played a part.
That's literally it. And I hear you guys have got the Love Island out with you now. I think there's an American and an Australian one now. I don't know if it's quite as dramatic as the English one, but I'm sure it's still decent.
Yeah. No, my wife is a connoisseur, and so she will not have anything less than the English Love Island.
I love it.
Only all right. So in our end of season award show, the Hebs Devi's, your dad won Father of the Year, Luke. Has it gone to his head? I'm sure that's all he ever talks about.
All he ever talks about is himself, to be fair. Like honestly, like you've met him. The guy could honestly sell ice to an Eskimo. Like yeah. He just talks fun. Like, you know, like him and my wife have an ongoing joke whenever she goes to the games. He just always makes friends, whether it's a home game, away game. He'll make friends with someone, so he just doesn't feel like he's on his own. And then he's friends with the whole pub, and he thinks he's the man, to be fair. But bless him, it comes to every game.
I love it. I love it. He was the man when we met him. It was so cool. I like made our day. We're like,
yes.
I'm Luke McGee's dad. What? Oh my god, we gotta get a picture. It's so cool.
Yeah.
So let's get to the Saturday's match, Lincoln City. Thoughts on the match, Luke McGee?
Do you know what? I thought first half, obviously it was a horrible, horrible day. It was like 33, 34 degrees. Mm. So that definitely plays a part. But I thought first half, we kind of just showed exactly how we want to play this year. And mm-hmm. obviously the thoughts and the patterns of play that Ian wants to play with. And I thought we showed that really well. And then maybe the last 5 minutes, they kind of got momentum and they came out quick in the second half. But I'd say that a draw was probably a fair result in the end. But I think it's definitely a step forward for us. Obviously, after Ipswich and everything like that. But I think it's definitely putting us back in the right direction and hopefully ready to kick on again Saturday now.
Let's go. And you sort of kept a clean sheet. I mean, no Lincoln City player scored against you. So we'll take it.
Yeah, I'll say that. I mean, it was a great finish from Bales. And we actually said, because we stayed in Lincoln, obviously, the night before. And then we went for a walk around the canal and everything like that. And me, Regan, and Bales were walking. And I think it was before Bristol Rovers. I said to Regan, I was like, you're going to score today, aren't you? He goes, yeah, I think I will, you know. So I said it's the Bales before the game. And after the game, he turned around and he went, Luke, you did say I was going to score. Too soon.
I love it. Oh, man. And Connor Wickham, man, just incredible, incredible debut for him. Incredible how he just held off the defender as long as he wanted, squared up, fired it top corner. It looked like he was in training against a bunch of school kids on that goal. Like, does that Premier League quality and experience come through in training, or was that a fluke?
No, I think it's just like you play at that level, you're going to have things that other lads aren't going to have. And I think you saw that straight away that it literally was just a stiff arm, wasn't it? Like, yeah. You're not getting the ball off me. Don't even give it a go.
Yeah. As NFL fans, we really appreciated that. We're like, oh, wow.
It was literally just like stiff arm touch. And then it's just instinct for him, isn't it? He's done it thousands of times, I would have thought. And that just kind of, it just shows his quality. And I think it will be nothing but positive for the group and for the team and results as well, hopefully.
Yeah. Incredibly handsome guy too. And I'm not just saying that because everyone on Twitter said he looks like me.
You know what? I'm going to put it out there. I had a conversation with him today in training and obviously was talking about you guys saying I was coming on the pod, and he wasn't totally clued in as to who you guys were and things like that.
Fair enough.
And then I showed him the picture of the guy that obviously on fire and then his face.
Yeah.
And, yeah, tell him that's not the best picture of me, please.
I love it. Nice. All right, noted. We'll change the picture. Hey, that's the club picture.
He is a good looking lad.
Yeah. That was the club picture.
We'll have to have him on so he can go through the photo and curate for us what we should use.
That's right.
Don't shoot the messenger. I'm only passing on information. I'm trying to help.
So Luke, besides yourself, you can't say yourself. Who was the man of the match on Saturday for you?
Oh, good question. That is a really good question. That, to be fair, do you know what? I'm gonna be a bit of a cop out here. I thought Casey, obviously starting his first game, I thought he was solid, to be fair, and I can't say enough calm words about that kid. Like, honestly, he is just one of the nicest people, so eager to learn, constantly saying to you, like, keep talking to me. Mm-hmm. And then I've got to say Marchie as well. Like, I've got to take my hat off to Marchie. Every time he gets a chance, no matter what that job is that he's got to do, you know he's going to run for a bit of brick wall for you. He gives 150% every single mm-hmm. time. So I think the way we wanted to play Saturday was the perfect game for Marchie, and he just always repays the faith in whoever gives it to him. So I'd say them two for me.
Love that. Yeah. We're going to actually ask you about Casey and some of the new recruits in a little bit, but that's a great shout. And yeah, nobody, I mean, everyone loves Marchie, the effort that he gives, his work rate. It's awesome. So actually, speak while we're on the topic of strikers, who's the hardest guy to stop shots from in training on the team? In the past, I think, you know, we've heard names like young Jake Young, no longer with us. Odin Bailey, I remember we heard a couple years back, no longer with us. Who is it now? Who's the guy you dread trying to stop shots from on our team?
Do you know what? If you'd have asked me yesterday, it might have been tough, but I've got to take my hat off to Regan, purely because obviously his goal against Bristol Rovers, he knows he meant it. We know he meant it. We were doing it was like a 3v2 session today. It was an absolute blow for the boys, to be fair. But it was three of them coming towards me, two defending, and they've come down the touchline, cut it back to on the angle, probably penalty spot. And I think Jammer was closing him down. Me and Jammer thought the same thing. We just thought he was just going to swing his right foot it. But he's planted his right foot and reboned it over my head.
Wow.
It was phenomenal. So wow. I'm going to give him credit where credit's due and say really good at the moment.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he's right. on fire.
Okay, like, here's hope we see a Rabona from him at some point this season.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
I hope so. If he's going to do it in training against me and embarrass me, because he did appreciate the fact that I had a token dive and waved at it as it went past me as well. So if he's going to do it against me, he's got to do it again.
So I watched your Tottenham Hotspur, Luke. I watched him play Chelsea with my wife and my father-in-law. And I was telling my wife, I was like, Luke McGee played at Tottenham and he knows that guy. And I showed him pictures of you with like Ben Davies and like Son and Hugo Lloris and Harry Kane and Expur, Dele Alli. And she was super impressed. And she was like, you know, Luke McGee knows those guys I've seen on TV. So it's like some 3 degrees of, you know, Kevin Bacon stuff right there. But
the guy that does that on TikTok, isn't it? He goes, give a person, I come across that the other day, that fascinated me.
Oh, it's amazing. Anyone, you can name anybody, and that guy will. Yeah, it's incredible. And actually, I'm sure. Well, actually, I bet Sean and I can now do the same thing because we know you, and then you know Harry Kane, and then Harry Kane has met, I don't know, Boris Johnson, who's met, you know, whoever else, So that's the whole reason we're doing this pod, is so we can eventually do TikToks.
You have to make sure you go that way, though. You have to make sure that you go from me to Harry, because if you go to someone like that and then say me, they're either going to go, yeah, I vaguely remember that kid. Or it's so embarrassing for me. So you've got to go me to them rather than the other.
I can't imagine anybody being embarrassed in it.
Did they train you during your time at Spurs to pull hair? Or is that a new Antonio Conte defensive tactic?
You know what? I was watching it in the afternoon. We had a couple of neighbors around as well. Mm-hmm. And I honestly couldn't believe that, first of all, it wasn't a foul. And then how would you even get booked or red cut? Honestly, it was unbelievable to watch. And then to go and score from the corner after that, oh, unbelievable scenes. I bet Moons was absolutely screaming and they got in the pub.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you still recovering from the quasi prize fight between Conte and Tuchel? Oh, first, like, you know,
I've watched it back a few times as well, and I still can't work out who holds on to who, because they both surprised when it happens.
Yeah.
I can't work out what was going on, but do you know what? I love things like that. I think if you take it away, I won't quite go as far as Sunez. I don't know what he was saying, because you know you're just going to get absolutely battered for it. But
right,
I think if you take that fierceness away and that little edge away, it doesn't have the same effect as it. So I love things like that.
Me too, man. It was such a fun game to watch. And no disrespect to Hugo Lloris, but my guy Luke McGee saves that Koulibaly volley any day of the week. I mean, you couldn't stop our own Koulibaly, Cargo, on Saturday, but I think you would have had Chelsea's Koulibaly.
But yeah, I think that's the law. Only one or the other can score during the weekend now that he's here.
And especially because Koulibaly, in the Chelsea Tottenham game, he scored the 19th minute, and Luke McGee does not concede goals in the early, not in this season.
Before the 39th minute this season.
39th minute, I think. Seriously, there does seem to be a record of you just making ridiculous saves early, you know, right off the first whistle. Is there something to that? Like, to me, I feel like I would need, you know, I'd want to grow into the game a little bit before I have to make heroic saves. But you just start doing it like right from the jump. Do you prefer that? Because it gets you maybe mentally into the game early?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think it's always nice to obviously not be on the back foot and having to defend loads. But I think it's always nice to have an easy-ish save, couple of passes, things like that, just to almost get into the game. But then there's sometimes where you can go 70, 75 minutes where you've done nothing. And then they come up the other end and you're almost a little bit like disjointed at the back, and where you get a little bit giddy and the boys go forward a bit more. But yeah, I think that whoever plays at the back at the moment, I just think there's it's the same as last year. There's just such a good vibe around the place, and everyone knows each other. Everyone gets on well off the pitch. So I don't think there's ever there's never any kind of like no one knows where to be or no one trusts each other. There was a couple of situations last 5 minutes in the first half against Lincoln where it was almost the same thing where one of them might made a save and the other one, Jordy, does so well just to slow the guy down and get a block on. So it's just having that relationship really and just building on from there.
Love that. I think it's fair to say you and Regan Hendry have been the best players, the most consistent players so far in our three matches. You have, I said before, you have the most saves. Technically, you don't. You have the fourth most saves in League One because Shrewsbury keeper has 15 saves Wednesday and Peterborough keepers, they have 14 saves each and you have 13. However, you've played one fewer game than those guys. So we are going to say that you have the most saves in League One because had we played four games, had we played Akron St. last night, you would be the leader. So, like, what do you think? Like, why do you think you've gotten off to such a good start this season, despite, you know, moving up a league and seeing an increase in attacking quality?
Do you know what? It's just one of those things where I know that obviously we've gone up a league and the quality is definitely going to be better. But I just think at the moment, the difference between the Championship and League One and League One and League Two, I think the gap's getting so much smaller now because there's just so many good players about. I mean, you look at the players we've got this year and there's players that can easily be playing in the Championship. So I just think it's just carrying on with where we kind of finished last year, working with Dan. Dan puts a lot of effort into pre-game stuff now. Like last night, he sent me a couple of things where Accrington have been really dangerous this year. So it's just it's not bombarding or anything like that. It's just like, right, if this happens, just keep an eye on this. So it's almost just going into every game, I think, as prepared as possible and then just trusting the training and everything like that during the week to then hopefully make saves until someone from Ipswich puts one absolutely top corner against you.
Yeah, that was...
nothing you could do against that. And Ipswich are... maybe the best team in the league so far. They certainly look to be one of them.
And one thing Nathan and I have noticed is that the team itself doesn't appear to be playing scared. And I think that comes from the back too. Like your early saves, the confidence and calmness that we see. It's like we feel like it emboldens the outfield players to be like, you know what, we're going to play our game. And so we've loved that so far early this season.
Yeah, I think you'll see a lot of that, to be honest. That comes from the manager. That's exactly how he wants to play. And I know it's a cliche and I know a lot of managers do say it, but you genuinely know that he will take them. If there's a mistake of us trying to do the right thing, he'll take it on his back. He'll take the shots for it. So I think it's almost a confidence from the boys, just knowing that, you know what, this is how he wants us to play. We'll just do it. And we're getting better and better at it. And hopefully we continue doing that.
So since you mentioned him, let's talk about him now, Ian Birchnell. So What is his style and how is he different from Rob?
Sorry, I just had an
idea. Oh, we got a guest.
Yeah, she ran straight at me. Sorry.
Oh, I love it. We got a special guest.
She's run off again now. Like,
okay. Yeah. It's like, I want no part of this. Yeah, oh, Daddy. Oh, no, wait. No, I don't want any of this.
These two dumb Americans. No, run away.
Yeah. 6 o'clock every morning. Just, Dad. Yeah. Dad.
So back to Ian Birchnell. You know, what's his style and how is he different from Rob?
I think one of the main differences I'd say is just the way that maybe he wants to build up from the back. And I'd say he's got a lot of patterns of play and movements that he wants to kind of install into us, and then we can work off the back of that. And I think that's really showed the first few games. And the longer we do that, the better we'll get at it. And I think it will catch a lot more teams out. But I'd say kind of off the pitch and personality-wise, I'd say they're very, very similar. They're both, like we spoke about Rob last year, just same as Ian now, really, just humble people that you can really just kind of, you connect with them really well. And you can kind of, you just get them and they get you. And it's so relaxed off the pitch. It's not... you're on edge or you're worried about making a mistake that it's going to come back on you. You just know that you've got the full backing from him, from Doyle, and obviously from Dan as well for me.
Are you guys off today?
No, we was in. So he's changed the days off to Thursdays now. So off Thursdays.
Oh, interesting. Cool. I guess there's a lot of things he's doing differently. That's cool. I wonder what do you think is like the, I don't know, reasoning behind that?
I think he says that you can get a, you almost get an extra day's prep in. So obviously if you're in on a Tuesday game, say you're not in on a Tuesday, you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to really kind of get it in the boys' legs. Mm. Thursday is obviously then you can chill out, do nothing. And then by the time you come into Friday, literally it's normally just tactical set pieces, game Saturday, done. So I think he'll have to move up that way.
Cool. He's got the sequence sorted out.
Yeah, that's interesting. We're going to ask you more about Ian Birchall in a little bit and some of the changes. But yeah, I know another one that he does when we talked to Ben Stevenson last week is he doesn't release the team sheet until like shortly before the match. So everyone just has to be ready to play because nobody knows who's starting. That's
literally no one has a clue. And he does it really clever as well because he leaves it's the day before. Normally, if you do either set pieces or shape or things like that, you normally get a really good feel. Even if the manager doesn't want to make the team, you get a really good feel as to who's playing. But yeah, you've got no idea the way he does it, which is how he wants it. So he does it perfectly.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I kind of like that everyone's got to be on their toes. Everyone's got to be prepared. I like that.
Only thing missing is like a scavenger hunt for the team sheet. Like everybody in the team has to go around the Bolton new line to find out if you're playing or not.
Well, it's normally our guy, JP, who's the analyst. He obviously comes in and it's always on his laptop. So he'll come in, say, 5 minutes before the meeting. And he plugs his laptop in and it comes up on the telly. And I know there's a few lads that like walk past his laptop and really
I just see, I picture like Dokes with really thick glasses. Yeah. Just walking in.
Oh, I love it. Now that we're in League One, we go up against two of your former sides this season, Peterborough and Portsmouth. Did you have a favorite between those two? And if so, why?
A favorite playing for?
Yeah.
It's a tough question because I have got massive positives for both. Like for Portsmouth, I don't think you'll get a better atmosphere there. It's just the fans are phenomenal. They're constant, they're loud.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop. But if you're gonna make me answer, I think I really did enjoy the year I had at Peterborough. On and off the pitch. I just loved the people there, I loved everything about it. So I would probably lean towards Peterborough, but that's not knocking Portsmouth at all. Let's go Peterborough.
All right. Nice. It's going to be fun for you to get reunited with them this season.
Hopefully, absolutely hammered now, and that's because of you guys.
Don't worry. Yeah. We're going to put this out to everyone at Portsmouth. We're going to know. So you mentioned Casey, and you know what a great addition he's been. What a hardworking player he is. How he just wants to learn, and just what a great guy he is. And our recruitment has been outstanding. You know, ever since Sean and I started following this team, the recruitment is outstanding.
Yeah.
Not just great players, but great people. It's like, Luke, I don't know. Is there like a defining trait of being a Forest Green Rovers player? Is there a specific type of person that FGR look for?
You know what? It's mad because Rich Hughes was down at the training ground today. And I sat next to him. We had a little 5-minute break in training. And I just said to him, like, oh, what do we owe this pleasure? You're only ever down for a reason. And he went, no, like, I'm actually just here to be here today.
Mm.
We were just talking about everything really. And I actually said to him, how soon when you're looking to sign a player, does that question come out when you're asking about someone off the pitch and what they're like? And he said, for us, it's one of the first questions we ask because they can be fantastic on the pitch. They can be an absolute world beater, but if they don't join in our family and how the club wants to be run, it's just not going to work. So I think for him especially, and it's worked perfectly for us, but I think that's a massive thing for him to make sure that they'll fit in the group and that, to be honest, their values are right and they're good people.
Love that. And yeah, we see it with every player we have on. It's like every single one of you guys is like outstanding human beings off the pitch. And obviously the talent is there on the pitch. So man, Rich Hughes, man, just killing it.
And yeah, having like a team of champions now too, it doesn't seem like it's gone to your head, you know, well-earned plaudit. You guys earned it last year, but you know, the guy, the core that's still there from last season.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's going to be a big thing this year as well, I think, which hopefully can stand us in good stead.
Yeah. So speaking of new guys, we have a new goalkeeper too, apparently, the very young Alfie Burnett. Tell us about him. He's joined you and our boy Lewis Thomas back there. Who is this new guy?
So he's been at Rotherham before. He was at Sheffield as a kid, I think. like you said, he's 18, I think, 18, 19.
That's him in the background, right? That's Alfie.
Yeah, yeah. He's trainer in the garden. So, he's young. He's come in to obviously learn from myself and from Tomo and obviously to be there in training as well. But he's a good kid. I think it's been the first few weeks for him were tough. But me and Tomo could kind of, we could reason with him and say like, look, we've been there. Don't get us wrong. Don't think that everyone's on you. Don't think that, geez, these lot are being so hard on me. I said, everyone's been there. It is a shock to the system coming in, even though he was with us last year. It's a shock to the system coming in every day and the demands that are put on yourselves and everyone else. But he's doing really, really well now. Coming on massively. And again, he's a good kid. So there's never a problem with me, Tomo, him. It's never awkward. It's never a little bit spicy. It's just all three of us get along so well. We all know what we're doing. We all know our job. So it's perfect.
Yeah, I can't imagine, you know, two better mentors than you and Lewis Thomas. So he's a lucky kid, a lucky kid. So we've come back from tough positions in all three games so far this year. 1-1 drawing at Bristol Rovers until the late Hendry goal. Getting crushed 2-0 at halftime in Ipswich, and then we came out in the second half and really controlled it, kind of owned the second half. We, even though we ended up losing the game, we won the second half. And then Saturday, going down at Lincoln City and then coming back to salvage a point. Is there something happening behind the scenes, something happening at training sessions that's giving us this intensity and this belief that we've seen, you know, help us get these comebacks so far?
Do you know what? I think it's just a bit of it will be, obviously, like we said before, the core group from last year. It happened a few times last year. And we just knew that you carry on. Even we had that terrible period, we then finished okay to make sure we got over the line. And I think that's just kind of in the back of our minds always, that if we go one down, two down, we don't quickly flip a switch and go to plan C, D, whatever it is. We just stick to what we know that works. It may not have worked in the first half, maybe tweak a couple of things, but I just don't think we go too far away from what we know works. And again, the trust we have in each other to dig each other out, to carry on doing what we're doing, I think just shows, and that does show obviously in the three results, even though obviously against Ipswich it wasn't quite enough. But yeah, I think it's just the proof is there that stick together, stick to the plan and carry on going, and hopefully that breakthrough comes.
Love that, Luke. All right, we're gonna wrap up here in just a minute. Before we do, we're gonna do a little teammate talk in just a minute. But before we do that, we got to put you to the test, playing a game of Family Feud. We put Jamma to the test. We put Ben Stevenson to the test. So currently, Ben Stevenson has the high score, 891. So that's the score to beat. Do you know how to play Family Feud, Luke?
I have no idea, but 891 sounds a massive score. So
I love it. Well, okay. So, Sean, can you explain it really quick?
Yeah. So, you know, what we're going to do, Luke, is kind of test your sense of what the public and the American public thinks. So there's usually a question. It's a survey and they ask a bunch of people and they rank usually the top five or six answers. 100 people. Sorry. Yeah. 100 people.
Steve Harvey one. Yeah.
Yeah, Steve Harvey. Yeah, exactly. 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 Yeah, so no problem. Just try to come up with the best, what you think the American public thinks.
No problem.
All right, let's do it, Luke McGee. Here we go. As soon as I find my window that has it, we will do it. Family Feud, 891, the score to beat.
Do I get an extra point for guessing how many people are playing right now?
we should do
show
that.
You that? Yes. Yes, I'll give you a bonus. Yeah. I don't know. What's
311.
311. Does it say that somewhere?
No, I don't think so.
I love it. All right.
Where you are right now, underneath your heads.
What? Where is it?
It literally says on the right hand side, 311 people are playing.
Like, oh, it does. It's you have outsmarted us way too easily, Luke McGee.
All right, I'm giving you a bonus. I'll give you a bonus for that.
Extra 200 points.
We'll,
why not?
We'll add it at the end. All right, here we go. Family Feud. Here we go. Are we going to have an ad or not? Oh, no. Yep. Ad. Let's go. All right. All right, here we go.
Is that the iconic theme song? We're good.
Yes. Against six, Zachary Larson. All right, here we go. Round one, 60 seconds on the clock. Name the toughest part about owning an elephant as a pet.
The size of the thing, how big it is.
All right, hey. Too big to handle. Good.
Nice.
That's the third. Third best.
Cleaning up after it.
Cleaning up after it. Hey, the number one answer. Perfect. Cleaning up after it.
It never forgets anything.
Oh, ooh, nice.
I like that.
Never forgets anything like that.
Blowing up your spot at all opportunities. Oh no! All right.
It's a good guess though.
Like how loud it is.
Oh, nice. How loud it is. Let's see. No, what?
Oh my God, I'm having one.
Actually, do elephants make noise? I have no idea.
Yeah, they make the big trumpet. They do the big trumpet.
You're right.
Thing,
you're, right.
Yeah.
You're right.
How expensive it is.
Oh.
Nice, you know, the tuition for elephant college is most expensive.
We're striking out.
Ooh, 10 seconds. You got probably a couple more guesses in. Can we get one more guess?
One more. Let's one more. Go. No, I'm blank.
I'm stumped too. I don't know. Here we go. All right, the fifth answer is bathing it. Ooh. No room for it. We said those too big to handle. How is that? And then feeding it was the other issue. All right. Not bad.
That was 59. A tough one. A lot of those were very similar. That was tough.
I feel like we were far done by when we said the size of it, no room. I kind of feel hand in hand.
Too similar. That's too similar.
100% agree. I think you got screwed there. But hey,
how many rounds is this?
There's three rounds and then a end. What's the end round called? I don't know. It's a bonus round. But each round is worth double. So don't worry. 59 is not a bad start.
Ben was on fire.
Ben was on fire. Don't worry. You're going to make it up. You'll see. You'll make it up. Here we go. These are double points now. Round two, double points. Here we go. 60 seconds. The question is, name something neighbors swap with each other.
Sugar.
Ooh. Nice.
Classic. That's a classic.
Hey, number one. All right, food drink. Wow. Count it. Number
that's
one.
That's a huge category.
What else did I swap? Gossip.
Ooh,
I think
like
that's a
that.
Strong one.
Strong gossip. Hey, the yes. Three
wow.
Answer.
All right.
Great. Yes.
Two wow. More.
Two more and plenty of time. 30 seconds. Plenty of time.
I mean, depends where it is in America, but I'm going to go spouses.
Hey! Ooh,
there was a big spouses. Show here. A big show here, country.
No!
Ooh, okay.
Oh, no spouses.
How should they spot with each other? gossip talk. Furniture, maybe.
Furniture.
Okay.
This is killing me, this.
Furniture.
Oh. One more guess. Sing it one more guess in.
5 seconds.
Go. What would you spot? Cars.
Cars. Oh, no. Ooh. All right, but that's right. 70 points.
Tools. Recipe.
I don't know. It's a tough one. But it's okay. Double points. So you get 140 in that round. So now you're at 199. It's all right. Round three is triple points. So you're going to make it up right here.
Ben is on fire. Well played, Ben.
Yeah. Ben was killing it.
Triple points, though. Yeah. Here's your chance to make up. Also, Ben had it. Well, talk about a second. Name an animal whose legs you eat. Hey, we don't wear vegan, but all right.
Lamb.
Carnivores. Lamb.
Lamb. Okay.
All right. The number three answer.
Chicken.
Chicken. That's got to be number one. Yep. Number one answer.
Cow.
Cow.
Oh, okay.
Cow legs. No.
Well, Ben. Yeah, I actually don't eat meat either, so this ain't easier.
Let's go.
Hey. Hey. A tough one. You know, what about if you were French? You're twirling your mustache in Paris, but might you?
Snail.
What'd you say?
Snail?
Snail. Snail. Okay. Escargot.
Snails and frogs?
Maybe.
Frog. Okay, you said frogs. I think you said frogs.
Frog,
right?
Frog, yeah.
Yes, right. That's one. Yeah,
there you go. There you go.
Second answer. Frog. Good.
What else would you eat that is legs? Like, this is actually killing me.
I'm trying to think too.
Got one more.
No.
You got 99, so you got most of it. All right, time's up. Here we go. Number six answer was crab.
Crab.
Five,
oh,
rabbit. Four, turkey. And then, turkey leg, I guess.
I could have got crab legs. Yeah, I could have got crab legs.
Oh, we got to ask you about the no meat thing. Greetings from New York. Hey.
Hey.
New York, let's go. Got to ask you about that. But all right, so round three, that was triple points. So you got 297. 496 total. Let's go to Fast Money.
Here's your chance. Here's your chance, Luke. This is where you can surpass Ben. You got to rock it out in this round.
Name a place you see people squirming in their seats.
Cinema.
Okay. Most people would fail a lie detector test when asked if they ever cheated on
spouse.
Wow.
Name something you might see when you're dead.
God.
Name a spot that has the heaviest athletes. Oh, sport. Sorry.
Sumo wrestling.
Sumo.
Oh, that's a strong one.
Yeah, that's
like
gotta
that.
Be It's got to be the winner. And last one, name something that people like to put whipped cream on. Uh-oh.
Don't say spouse again, please. Thinking. Do not say spouse again.
let's say hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate.
Nice.
All right, here we go. Name a place people squirm in their seats. Cinema, first answer. Let's go.
Nice.
Most people would fail. They cheat on spouse. Test was the number one answer, but spouse was a good one. God.
Ooh, first again.
Heaviest athletes. First sumo wrestling. And name something people would like to put whipped cream on. Hot chocolate. No, oh. Strawberries, I guess. 500 point bonus.
That's good.
Let's go. 196. Fast 124. What's the 500? Hey, we got the winner. 1,140, and I'm gonna give him 1 point for the.
Okay, 1 point.
Oh, there we go. I like that.
1,141.
41 points. Our new leader, Luke Vicky. Cool hand. You, that's why they call him Cool Hand Luke. People.
Do you guys not put whipped cream on hot chocolate? No.
No, we do.
I think people do. I'm surprised that was not shown up. Yeah. I think that was a good shout. I would have probably said like ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, or pie maybe. Yeah. But
Yeah. We are masters of overkill over here. You already had ice cream, full fat milk. Add some more cream on top of that.
That's right.
Ice cream sundae.
On whipped cream.
That's right. No, I think hot chocolate was a reasonable guess.
Yeah, I do too.
But you are now the leader. And I got to say, Ben Stevenson, one of the questions was incredibly easy because he just had to, it was like, name the age you first ride a bike. And so he just had to guess all the numbers.
Yeah, like four, three, five, six,
four,
seven.
Five, six, aww, seven, eight. Got it. So he got a very easy one. But you still beat him. You still beat him. But Luke, you said you don't eat meat.
No, I'm a – well, I say pescatarian, but that's rare. That's rare as well. I don't – I've not had meat in probably 3 years now, 3.5 years maybe.
Incredible.
Really? I didn't know that. That's
I haven't eaten it. So my wife's not eating it since she was maybe 8 years old, eight, nine, ten. I say eight and she's doing this in the background, so I'm gonna say 10. So yeah, so that it started off there really, where she would cook for herself and cook for me as well, so we'd have the same sides, everything like that, and then she'd just cook for me. And then it got to a stage where I said, well, the days you're cooking I won't have meat, and then if I cook for myself I will. And then I didn't really miss it, to be honest, so I cut that out completely. The only time I really have fish is maybe after a game, every couple of weeks I might have a fish and chips. Yeah, so really I'd say milk and eggs is the only two things I probably really have that come from animals at all, really. So I'm trying to cut fish out and then see where I go from there. But yeah, so it's been a while now.
That's awesome. What's the is there a reasoning behind it apart from your wife doesn't make it?
That's how it started. And then when I did cut it out, the first couple of months I just felt so fresh in the mornings. Like little niggles that I'd had for periods of time just seemed to, it might have been a placebo effect, but it just felt better. And I just felt stronger in myself, really. So I just stuck with it. And obviously that now feels the norm now. And then obviously all the new shows that are coming out and giving more information. So yeah, I just don't see any reason to go back to it now. And I don't do the cooking, so I won't go back to it.
Let's go.
Perfect.
Oh, love that, man. We have a surprising number of non-meat eaters on the team. This is great, man.
Yeah, and it's so important actually to just hear that it is a part of daily life and it can be done, because I think there's this barrier, this intimidation that people have that's like, oh, I don't think I can do that just because, you know, I come from a culture or I just do it so much.
Yeah, but I was exactly the same. I was literally just... Even when we kind of spoke about it before, I'd be like, it's impossible for me to give up like a fry up on a Sunday.
Yeah.
A roast dinner without meat. I'd be like, no chance. And then it takes a little bit of getting used to, but for 90% of things, there's decent enough kind of replacements. I'm still yet to find bacon that kind of resembles normal bacon, but everything else, like, I don't know if you have it over there, but there's a thing called Richmond sausages. And I, honestly, like my dad is biggest meat eater of all, and he stayed over, and Rhea, my wife, gave him a sausage sandwich. Didn't say anything about it. Said thanks, blah blah blah. And then in the end of the day, we went to him. Oh, was your breakfast? He went, yeah, sound. Thank you. Told him it was the meat-free ones. He had no idea.
Wow, that's great.
Fine. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Cool. Awesome. Yeah, I think a lot of us are like that. Like, I grew up eating meat, and I could never imagine a future of me not, like, what do you eat if you don't eat meat? And now that I've been vegan for a while, it's like I'm the opposite. I just can't imagine eating meat. And it's way easier than you think. So that's awesome. That's awesome, Luke. Okay, we're going to get on. We'll close out here in just a minute. We're going to do a quick teammate talk themed with the crazy heat that you guys have experienced over there. Hot boil summer themed teammate talk. So Shimmy, you want to take it away?
Sure. Yeah. So first is kind of on the pitch. Who do you think, or maybe from what you saw this past weekend, who on the team has the best response to those sorts of conditions where it's arid, scorching temperatures, the pitch is dry? Who do you think is the best adapted to that?
I'd say Marchie, because there's nothing can put that guy off. He is.
Yeah, we've noticed.
Nothing fazes him. He'll run a marathon, whether it's snowing or whether it's 40 degrees. Like, I don't think anything fazes him in that way, so I've got to go with him.
Love that. And how hot does it get wearing those goalkeeper gloves on a day like it was last weekend on Saturday? Like,
you know what? That's not the problem. The problem is since I've put on a pair of gloves, I've always worn like an underskin and then my top on top over that. Purely because if you dive and you get a little scrape, that scrape does not go for about 6 months because you open it up every single day, every time you dive on it.
Right.
So I actually had an Under Armour on underneath my clock, and it was horrendous. But for the sake of an hour and a half, I've come away unscathed. So it was probably worth it.
Interesting. Wow.
Those gloves got to get stinky too on a hot day.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be coming in here for a good couple of hours after.
All right, sticking with the hot boil summer theme, who makes the best tea on the team?
I'm gonna go Jordy, but it's coffee. So Jordy definitely makes coffee. I'll get a bit of stick for it, but in our change room especially, every now and again someone will bring coffees in for the boys. I think Jammer's done it a few times, Jordy's done it a few times, Bale's probably the same as me, a couple, but yeah, I'm gonna have to call him out. Regan hasn't been seen in a while.
You're up, Regan.
Yeah,
you're up, Regan.
In a bit of time, but he likes to deflect and put it on me. But he knows the truth. He can.
I love it.
Cool. Is there anyone that has a very specific, like, complicated coffee order? Because I know those can get really intense. Like, you know, the receipt's this long.
You know what? Bales goes through stages where he's like, he'll have a normal diet, and then he just goes on these extreme things where I don't know what he does, but he just like. It's mental what he does. Whether he wants to lose a kilo in a day and he'll just have water for the day. Obviously, he doesn't actually just have water for the day, but he just does these really random things. So I just never know what he'll order. He could just have a normal cappuccino, or it could be a skinny this with this on top. But do you know what? He's a great looking lad. And if he just had a plain and simple coffee order, I'd be a bit disappointed. So he can do what he wants in my eyes.
Love it.
Perfect. Nice. Okay. So, you know, we're talking about sometimes when you're facing tough opposition, it boils over. But who do you think on the squad, and we also talked about how we're playing unafraid, which has been awesome to see. But who do you think is unafraid to get in opposition players' faces, even though these might be bigger clubs? These might be players that may have played in the Championship or Premier League at some point. Who is not scared at all? We'll just do what they need to out on the pitch.
Without a doubt, your favorite. Dom Bernard.
I knew it. I knew it was going to be Dom. You
cannot rock those shorts without being completely unafraid.
That's right.
He's not all there. Like, it's plain and simple. He's not all there. So he's like, standing in like, the little tunnel, standing in the tunnel last night. And obviously we're leaning out the change room, looking at the pitch, the Accrington players doing the same. And someone's gone to Dom. Oh, go on, go and nick a Lucozade from their change room. And he's just trying to barge past the Aki players into their changing room. And they're like, what are you doing? He went, just grabbing a Lucozade. And they're looking at him like, are you all right? Like, what are you doing? He just does not care. Like, he's mad. Yeah,
I love it.
Mad. Just doesn't care. Like, he'll be getting up. Like, if he's playing at the back and say Ben's rattling someone and trying to get someone, he'll just be shouting things like, eat him, eat him. And I'm like, relax. He just doesn't care.
I love it. Yeah, you do see him. He talks trash to everybody too. Oh, I love it. He's like the first one up in their face, like when there's a little scuffle or a little argy bargy, as our guy Billy says. I love that. Okay, so from hot boil summer to hot boy summer, who do you think would go farthest on Love Island?
I'm gonna have to be very politically correct here. Everyone's single. Everyone's like on the same page. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Everyone's single.
Yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt, Bailey Cargill was taking the 50 grand home.
Oh.
Wow. Okay.
I know I've said it before, and I might be bordering on a little bit obsessive, but he's just a fantastic looking lad, isn't he? So
I agree.
Fair enough. Yeah, absolutely. So we saw him in person at the Mem at the end of the
match.
Better
looking in person.
Yeah, it's incredible. But you don't think his like weird kind of diets, the weird coffee he makes in the morning, will scare any of his potential suitor? You know.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe he'll be going up to, like, going up to the sun deck, won't he, and like giving the girl his coffee and then giving another one, yeah, giving another one a little wink. And yeah, he knows what he's doing.
I love it.
All right. We got it. It's going to be Bailey.
Bailey Cargill going Love Island. 50 grand, baby. All right. Luke McGee, man. Thank you as always. This was awesome. This was so much fun. Man, thank you for coming on. Thank you for making amazing saves every Saturday and the occasional Tuesday as well, keeping us in games. Man, continued success. Keep having an amazing, amazing season. And we will see you on Saturday against Plymouth Argyle, getting a clean sheet. Can't wait.
Yes.
Let's hope so. No, thank you as always, guys. I appreciate the time and the effort you guys put in. So, no, thank you so much.
Oh, cheers,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, getting to hang out with you and the other lads, it makes it all worthwhile, man. We love
you. No, honestly, we appreciate it. We appreciate it.
Luke McGee, our guy, cool hand, Luke.
So great,
best,
what a gent! And then, like you said, those oversized gloves. He wears those oversized gloves, but he's not Mickey Mouse between those sticks, man. He's saving us so far this season.
I love it, Shimmy. So, Luke, man, thank you for coming on as always. You were the best. So, before we get to Lori, that chat with Luke McGee was brought to you by Green Chef. Shimmy, my wife and I told you about Green Chef. We've been using it. It's amazing. Life-changing, Shimmy. Life-changing, for real. It's one of those like meal plan things where they send you a box of ingredients and recipes each week, and you make them. The food is so fresh, no pesticides. It's so healthy. It's like farm to bag to you. And it's just surprisingly unreal in terms of deliciousness. Like, healthy food is not supposed to taste that good, but it tastes amazing. It's like better than most restaurants. No joke. Like last night, I made this mushroom udon. Delicious. Tonight, we got breaded cauliflower tacos and peanut sauce. Shimmy, it is so good. It's affordable by NYC standards. It's about $11 per meal.
Not bad at all.
But that might not be affordable elsewhere. But in New York City, that's like cheap. And no food waste from going to the grocery store, buying a bunch of food that you end up not eating and it goes bad. You can choose 24 recipes each week, mix and match them. Of course, my wife and I do the vegan option, but they have more than just vegan options. But I recommend the vegan ones, of course. So to get $150 off through your first five orders, go to bit.ly/FGRGreenChef. That's bit.ly/FGRGreenChef for $150 off your first five orders. Delivers US and UK. Cancel anytime. All right, Shimmy, let's get to our guy, Lori. We welcome to the pod a man infinitely smarter than Sham and I about the game of football to talk about the game of football, the Lori of knowledge himself, the dump truck of data. Lori Martin is here. Welcome back, Lori.
How are we? Thanks for having me again.
Thank you for coming back. Yeah, thank you for agreeing to come back. Bummed last night that we didn't get to hear your voice on the airways as the Accrington Stanley game got canceled. Lori was going to be on the call with Billy, but I guess he's bad luck.
Yeah, I think, I'm on for the Brighton game next Wednesday. So if anything happens there, if it's called off for any reason next Wednesday, then I'm definitely down as a bad luck charm.
Okay, if a game had to be called off on account of you, what would you want the headline to be? Like, it's called off on account of what? What do you think would be the most fitting for you?
You know what? I've got absolutely no idea.
Me neither. What do you think? Dumb.
No, I don't know. It'd just be funny if it was just something weird. Like, you know, I think Lori, we were talking before, mentioned a blizzard. Just be funny if it was like, I don't know, like a bunch of seagulls.
Like hurricane.
Brighton, aren't Brighton the seagulls?
Okay. There you go.
Seagull invasion.
Nothing would surprise you at Forest Green, put it that way.
Fair enough. You know, like a huge ice cream truck on its way to like, you know, a billionaire's party fell over the hill. So it's just, you know. Too much ice cream on the road to have the game go on.
All right, Shimmy, you've had too much ice cream this morning. I can tell.
I think so. Yeah.
let's get into some football
much
here.
Of that raisin.
Let's get into some football here. So let's begin Saturdays. 1-1 draw at Lincoln City. Laura, you were there. Overall thoughts on the day, on the game?
It was pretty warm, to be fair.
Good
34 degree heat or something like that. It was tough to watch, never mind to play in. I didn't think it was a particularly good game. I wouldn't put that down to anything. Like, I wouldn't make any claims like, you know, two poor teams or anything like that. I just don't think it was a very, very good game. Not too many chances across it. Not particularly watchable. But Forest Green did end it very well, I thought. I think Lincoln probably had the better of the game overall. But having said that, I don't think they necessarily deserve to win it. I just think they shaded the majority of it. They ended the first half well with a few good chances. McGee made one very good save at his near post. But yeah, there wasn't a great deal in it. The subs made a massive difference. I think that's certainly been a real positive so far of in Birchnell's tenure. You know, Forest Green benefited so much from continuity last season and not making too many changes. But, you know, maybe there were times when subs could have been made and could have been made earlier, whatever. Whereas Birchnell was really aggressive, making subs early in the game, still at 0-0, which later came in handy with the two subs combining for what was a really well-taken goal by Connor Wickham.
Yeah, man. And you mentioned it wasn't a particularly enjoyable watchable game because I wonder, like, it seemed to us, at least in the first half, that the heat kind of like sapped all of the energy. Do you think that had something to do with why it was kind of such a slow start? It just seemed like a lot of just passing the ball around, nothing really happening.
Yeah, probably. And like, even for like Lincoln as well, I've heard so many things that they're, you know, a real sort of high pressing team. They did to an extent, but didn't see too much of it, probably because they didn't want to like waste energy. What's the point in like needlessly pressing the ball when it's 35 degrees, you know, you're just going to be burnt out by the time it gets to 60 minutes. There's no point. So yeah, I think that probably did play a part. It's completely unique circumstances to play a competitive game in those sort of conditions in England. It just doesn't happen very often. It's, you know, we talk about grinding out results in, you know, sleet and heavy rain and stuff like that. But this was grinding out a result in completely different circumstances, because it wasn't a great performance. It was a sort of grind out sort of display, but I suppose in a completely different way to the sort of English football stereotype.
Yeah, 100%. It was wild watching here in my nice, cool air conditioning. But yeah, you could tell that the heat played a big role.
Yeah, we did notice the preponderance of balls that were being played into the shaded part of the stadium as much as possible, into that little overhang. It's like, okay, let's get the ball working, at least be cool for a few seconds, and then get the play on again.
Yeah. So who impressed most for you, Laurie?
I think the subs. I mean, Connor Wickham's goal was incredible. I don't think any player in the Forest Green team is capable of doing that. It doesn't really look like a chance. I remember thinking that at the time. I'm like, well, he's still got his back to goal. He's got a couple of defenders around him, so like really tight space to work in. But that upper body strength is superb. That's the type of thing Ian Birchall talks about when he said, if we can get Connor to his best, then we've got a player above the level. And that was above the level play from Connor Wickham. Like, the finish as well is outrageous, to hit it into the roof of the net. And I think as well, the guy who assisted it, Sean Robertson, that's really my first time sort of seeing him. He came on briefly against Leighton Orient, but not too much. But he got a real bit of time to impact the game. It reminds me a bit of a Jaden Richardson sort of type, in the fact that his pace looks so useful, and it looks as well like Forest Green will play him high up the pitch, because, you know, there's almost no point having that pace so deep. You want it in areas where it can, you know, impact the game, and he got in round the side for that goal, just a low drilled cross in, and then he created the chance for David Davis as well, a really good weight on the ball for Davis, and he was another one that impressed me off the bench. So all the subs sort of made an impact. So yeah, that's you know, they were the finishers in the game, those three, and then I think Luke McGee as well started the season really well. He had a great season last season. I wasn't truly convinced with him under Mark Cooper, to be honest. But, I think under Rob Edwards, he really showed his worth. And, I looked yesterday, obviously, before Tuesday night's game, but he had the most saves in the league so far. You know, we don't want to rely on him too much, but I think he should win us points over the course of the season.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I totally agree, too, man. About everything you said. Our new signings have all been excellent, which is kind of what we expect. You know, with Rich Hughes, he's the magic man. He's the diamond hand. He's a credible recruiter. And then Luke McGee, agree with you. Last season under Edwards, yeah, Luke McGee was just unreal, saving us so many times early on. And again, actually, he's still doing outstanding in the beginning of games. He hasn't conceded before the 39th minute so far this season. Incredible, incredible player. So you mentioned Connor Wickham. He was unreal. Like you said, he looked like a man among boys out there to me. He was like on that goal. He just held off the defense as long as he wanted. It seemed like he squared up, and then just the pace and the positioning on the shot. Like you said, you don't see many guys at our level finding the top corner like that. It looks like a Premier League player. Is Wickham a must start for you going forward, Laurie?
Probably. I mean, it would have been interesting to see if he would have started last night. And I think as well, having sort of spoken to a couple of people at the club, the thing is with him, you've got to be careful, because they said on the EFL highlights the other day that he's started 14 games in 7 years. Like, he's starting two games a year. You can't be expected to go 90-90-90 all of a sudden. So I think you've got to be careful that you probably will be bedded in a little bit. But in terms of his quality, he just has to feature. And I also think that it is only a short-term contract as well. Like, got to make the most of him whilst he's definitely here, because there's no guarantee that he will be past that stage. But yeah,
you could be out, right?
Exactly. Like, I really hope he does stay based on that performance we saw. But you think about it, if he doesn't do particularly well, then he probably won't get offered a deal. But if he does really well, then other clubs could come sniffing. So it's... Yeah. One of them. I guess we've got to hope that if it's either of them, it's the latter, because then he would have contributed goals for us, which would be a big thing. But you're right, the quality he showed for the goal is unbelievable. I don't think any other player in the Forest Green team is capable of that. Watching him on the pitch, it was still a little bit of a pinch me moment, where it's like, Connor Wickham's playing for Forest Green Rovers. What is going on? Like, I know he's not a massive household name, but it's a big name to have. So I'm just excited to see how he gets on, because I think people as well would have started talking if he went 3, 4, 5 games without scoring. Here he is again, you know, not scoring. He's not been prolific in his whole career, etc. But he's got off the ball, and hopefully can continue that over the next few games as well.
Yeah, get all of our goals from him while we can. I did hear a rumor, I don't know how true it is, but that there's a possibility that in his contract he has like an appearances extension, where if he hits so many appearances in the first half of the season, it'll automatically trigger an extension. I don't know if that's, I mean, nobody knows if that's true. I just heard a rumor that maybe that could be in there. But yeah, just like you said, it's like a catch-22. If he's bad, we don't want him. If he's good, everyone else is going to want him, and we're going to lose him. Yeah. So let's get all the goals
while we can. Yeah, get the goals while we can.
Regan Hendry, I thought, had another solid performance. Do you think, Laurie, that he's got the Kane Wilson glow-up of the year potential, like we saw from Kane Wilson last year? Seemingly came, just made a huge leap last year, Kane Wilson, from the year before last year to last year. I wonder if Regan Hendry, you know, has the same potential this year.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's a really good shout, actually. Because we spoke last time, didn't we, that Rob didn't really get the best out of him, maybe didn't actually know entirely what to do with him, I don't think, in terms of, what his best attributes were, etc. But I think he's got the ability now to control games. And we spoke about the quality he showed against Bristol Rovers for, obviously, the goal, getting forward a lot more, just playing closer to the attacking players, basically. But I think he's got the ability now to control things. You know, it's a couple of nice diagonals. I think for the David Davis chance, it was him, his diagonal, that sort of created that, with the Robertson through ball coming straight after it. So, yeah, I think you're completely right. Based on that, I think you know, he's one of, we've got such quality in that midfield department, but he's one of the first names on the team sheet. It seems harsh that David Davis is on the bench on Saturday based on how he's done so far and based on the experience he can give us, but he can't drop Regan Henry at the minute.
Yeah, oh, it's been so fun to watch. So, Laurie, man of the match for you for this one.
Got to go for the big man, surely. Connor Wickham.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's just made me excited to see him. A match, well, not a match-winning moment, it only got us a point, but, you know, game-changing moment. And he's definitely got the ability to provide many more, I think.
Oh, love that. Love that. Yeah. So, Laurie... Oh, go ahead, Sean.
I feel like this could be like this might be the Forest Green Rovers season of like worldly goals, like two league matches, two like insane goals. Okay, yeah. You know, not necessarily the outcome we wanted this past Saturday, but yeah, it was just incredible. Hopefully, this is a season of those.
Yeah, man. The Hendry goal, I'm assuming you're referencing, and then this one was, both of those were unreal. So, Laurie, the transfer window is still open. Do you think we need to do any more business? And if so, What positions?
Well, interesting to hear, reading Josh Evans's piece on Gloucestershire Live before what was supposed to be the Accrington game, about Birchnell speaking about the potential of a new centre back. You know, with Doakes's injury, I don't think Forest Green need one because they had five centre backs last season and they got through it fine. And they weren't particularly like lucky with injuries. Doakes was out for 2 months with a collarbone injury. He got sent off twice. Dan Sweeney had a broken leg at one point. Jordan Moore Taylor missed little bits. So they didn't have much luck with defensive injuries, but they still got through it okay. So look, I can completely understand why they might move for one, why fans want one. You know, a couple of names have been linked, sort of Matthew Bonswell at Newcastle was one a few weeks ago, wasn't he, for a potential loan move. We'll see what happens. I don't think Forest Green... Look, speaking to fans as well on the coach on the way up on Saturday, I think probably go into this season now confident with that squad. I think it's, you know, more than capable of competing in League One, but you won't turn your nose up at one more quality addition. Do they need anyone? I don't think they do really, but I would not be surprised to see a quality, probably loan player come in, and it does look like that might be a centre back if it is anyone at all.
Interesting, interesting. All right, so Laurie, our league, our total right now expected goals is 1.56, which is the fifth best in League One. What do you think is contributing to that high XG total so far? We've only had three games, so it's a small sample size, but what do you think has been the biggest contributor to all these chances that we're getting that, frankly, I did not think we would be getting, you know, in League One so early?
Yeah, very, very good question. I mean, we do appear to be creating a lot of very good chances. You think to that Bristol Rovers game, they're not pot shots, are they? They're some real good one-on-one chances that were even missed in that game. You think of the McAllister header and one-on-one shot. Loads of good chances missed. So it's difficult to say, but, you know, I think Ian Birchall's beliefs are clearly to be brave on the ball and to keep the ball, for the wing backs to be nice and aggressive as well. And I think ultimately that sticking to his style, I think he's just going to stick to it throughout, you know, a little bit like Rob. You might change formation. He did go to a back four quite a bit, not Notts County, but ultimately the principles and the style will be the same. And I think that will serve Forest Green well. So it's probably just that. I think they've probably worked on the patterns of play a lot, sort of getting the wing backs involved, particularly, you know, McAllister's found some really good spaces in the opening games. Corey O'Keefe is someone who can create chances on his own with his sort of silky dribbling. So yeah, I think it must be that. I think over pre-season must have worked on those patterns of play a lot, being brave on the ball from the back, cutting through opposition in midfield and defences. So fingers crossed those type of figures can continue, I think.
Love that. So finally, on to Saturday. We host Plymouth Argyle, currently 12th in the table. They've got 2 wins, 2 losses, 6 points, goal difference -2. Both their wins came at home, one against Barnsley, one against Peterborough. Both their losses came on the road. Hopefully we can continue that. giving Fleetwood their first and only win of the season. And then this past Tuesday night, getting destroyed by Charlton 5-1. They did have a red card early in that game. James Wilson got sent off 39th minute, so he'll be presumably out of our match on Saturday, which is a shame because from everything I've read, he's been one of their worst players. So bummer we won't have him out there. But so I mentioned already, our XG total is 1.56, fifth best in League 2. Their XG is also excellent, actually, at 1.52, sixth in League 2. But, sorry, League 1. We're not in League 2 anymore, League 1. But they struggle on the road. Their XG on the road is just under a goal, 0.96. So I have to say, you know, hearing we're playing the mighty Plymouth Argyle, I was scared. But after looking at the numbers and the performances so far this season, I'm not so worried anymore. Laurie, am I naive in that?
It looks a tough game on paper based on how Plymouth did last season. You know, got 80 points and still missed out on the playoffs by just capitulating on the last game of the season. And we've got a really tough run now, haven't we? It's something I said on the radio last night that, you know, we've faced Sheffield when obviously Plymouth, who got 80 points last season, Sheffield Wednesday, promotion favourites, Shrewsbury, then Peterborough, promotion favourites, and then a trip to Charlton. I mean, it doesn't get much tougher than that. People will speak about a tough start, but the next few look very tough on paper. I think this is a result Forest Green can realistically get something from. You know, Plymouth seem to be very, very strong at home, don't they? I mean, beating two good teams as well, obviously in Peterborough and Barnsley as well. But then last night got, obviously the red card, I'm sure, affected it. I haven't seen the highlights yet, but they just got torn apart. I don't think stylistically, you know, I'm sure Charlton are, you know, bigger budget, better players, but I don't think stylistically ourselves and Charlton are too far apart, really, in terms of the way we both want to keep the ball. So, you know, maybe that could possibly play into our hands as well. But no doubt that result for Argyle away at Charlton should hopefully play into our hands in terms of confidence. You know, they might be a wounded animal and come out with a little bit more. But no, I don't think, you know, it will be a tough game. But I don't, yeah, I wouldn't be too afraid, Nathan, based on Plymouth. I think, you know, there are certainly sort of scarier opponents to come, I think. But Forest Green have showed themselves in the first three games to be, at the very worst, I think, a competitive League One team. So hopefully they can show that for a fourth game in a row.
Let's go. And yeah, I mean, Plymouth seemed, I mean, the odds makers have them the ninth best team in League One. So they're, you know, they're certainly not going to be a light opponent, but they seem to be so inconsistent in this very early sample size, beating a very good Peterborough team, like you said, but then losing to a very, what everyone thinks is a bad Fleetwood Town team. And then of course, last night, the 5-1 destruction. So maybe, yeah, I don't, we'll see what happens. Don't really know what to expect, but we have not played scared. We played really well that second half against Ipswich, which is looking to be maybe the best team in the league so far. So I don't know. I'm confident. I'm always confident. Let's get some predictions. Laurie, can we get our first home win in League One, or is it going to be a draw? Don't say loss. Don't say loss, Laurie. What is your prediction for this one?
Why not? 2-1 win, I'll say.
Hey, yes.
Love it, Laurie. Love it. Well, then let's close out on that happy note. Laurie Martin, thank you as always for coming on, man. Appreciate you. Actually, wait, before we go, who are the, give me the two goal scorers, or maybe one goal scores two.
I'll go Reece Brown and my new favorite player, Connor Wickham.
Let's go. Here we go. Love that.
The streak will continue.
Reece Brown to get on the board, especially at home where he's so loved. Oh, I love that. All right, Laurie, man, thank you so much, as always, for coming on. You are the man. Follow Laurie on Twitter at LaurieMartin263. I'm not sure what the 263 is for. We're going to ask you next time, though, Laurie. Laurie, thank you for coming on, as always. Oh, also, listen to Laurie Tuesday night. Or no, sorry, Wednesday night against Brighton in the cup match. Laurie will be on the call for that. So, Laurie, thank you, as always, for coming on, man.
So excited, man. You're going to kill it.
Hopefully. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Laurie Martin. There's only one Laurie Martin. There's nobody better, and he's going to knock out Floyd Mayweather.
Yes, he is. With all that data, he's just going to hit him with a big right cross of data.
Oh, Laurie's the man. Laurie, thank you as always for coming on.
Such a knowledgeable guy, man. Like even though he's learning, even though he's learning League One, he has to learn about all these new teams after our promotion. It just the knowledge and the, you know, the nuggets fall off. It's great. The wisdom. Nuggets the nuggets of wisdom. Off.
They do. They do, man. I feel smarter whenever we talk to that man. So thank you, Laurie. All right, Shimmy, let's close out here. We got Plymouth. Plymouth this Saturday, this Caturday, Shimmy. What do we got? Give me the prediction.
Yeah, you know, they've had a tough go over the past couple of games, but they were slated to be pretty high up there this season. But I feel like we're going to take advantage, and hopefully Connor Wickham gets a start. So I'm going to say... Yes. 3-1 to FGR. I feel like we got to get the goals early this season. I feel like Ian Birchnell is going to have him do it. Try to get the goals in early.
Optimism.
Yeah, we're not playing scared. We're not playing shimmy. Scared. So let's just keep going with that. You know.
I love that shimmy. Who's our goal scorers?
I say we get one from Connor Wickham. Also, you know, we'll get two from Wickham.
I like that.
And then maybe we'll get a Reese Brown goal in this one too.
Yeah. Hey, sounding a lot like my man Laurie Martin. Yeah, you know, like, it's always a smart move to copy Laurie's prediction.
Exactly. You caught me out on that one. That's exactly what I did.
Yeah, I gotta say, I've made predictions. How many games have we been doing this pod? Like, I guess it's been over 100.
Yeah.
Whatever, a ton of games, right. And I've only been right once with my prediction, which is the one time that Dom Bernard scored a goal.
Right.
But that's gonna change this time because I'm with you, Shimmy. Argyle have been up and down. A very weird start to the season. Sometimes they're great. Other times have been really bad. I'm going to go with a really bad away performance again. Another. They've had two really bad away performances so far. Let's make it three. Forest Green Rovers win an exciting match after a really boring one. We just watched at Lincoln City. It's going to be an exciting 3-2 victory. Give me a pair of Connor Wickham goals and a Dom Bernard goal to win
nice.
The game.
All right.
At the buzzer.
Love it.
All right, Shimmy, let's get out of here.
All right. You know, we are FGR. Up these vegan Rovers. We got
up
this.
Up the vegan Rovers.
Against Plymouth Argyle, the Scarf Boys.
We got this. The Scarf Boys. And you know, we gotta. Oh, sorry.
No,
go
I was going to say, we played the Tractor Boys. Now we're playing the Scarf Boys. But no matter what, we gotta. Raid.
I'm loving these League One nicknames. All right, we'll do it now this time. Right. And you know, we gotta.
Raise
hell. Praise Dale. It's me every time. Dale, yeah, baby. Thank you all. Yeah, go.
Let's go, everybody. We got this week.
Thank you for listening. Good luck this Saturday. We'll see you all next week. Thank you all for listening. Bye, everybody.
Bye.